Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Yeast Infection. And where this doesn't sound like a very good thing, we'll see that it may not be in many cases other than the ones you're thinking about. It may be a great thing. All right, yeast infection. Turn over to Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to go through a bunch of scripture today. Yeast infection, any of various single-celled fungi that reproduce asexually by budding or division. And if you look up the word yeast and look up the word leaven, they go together. The word leaven means a substance as yeast used to produce fermentation in dough or a liquid, especially like sourdough. It can also mean something that modifies or lightens. Yeast organisms are always present in all people, but are usually prevented from overgrowth, uncontrolled multiplication resulting in symptoms by naturally occurring microorganisms. Now, this is one of these things that, you know, you're not crazy about, but your body's got all kind of junk growing in it and in it. Men, women, everybody's got it. And it's this stuff that is not overgrown because there are microorganisms that control it, but it can get out of hand. It just doesn't sound like a good thing. A yeast infection overall is not a great thing. But if you go back and look at Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read a story here, the context is we've had all these plagues. Moses has gone to Pharaoh over and over, said, "Let my people go." Finally, the firstborn die. And verse 29 of Exodus 12 says, "And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." So it wasn't just people, animals died. The firstborn of every animal dropped dead. It was a mess. "Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as you have said.'" In other words, get out of Egypt, be gone from us. "Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." Now remember, Pharaoh's hardened his heart all this time. Now he's not only saying leave, but bless me when you go. "And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, 'We shall all be dead.'" So look at the next verse. "So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves." So they left so fast, they hadn't even kneaded their dough, so they get out in the wilderness and they cook. Now let me read you just a little bit out of the New Bible Dictionary some background here. In Hebrew life, leaven came to play an important part, not only in bread making, but also in the law, ritual, and religious teaching. It was made originally from fine white bran kneaded with must, from the meal of certain plants such as fitch or vetch, or from barley mixed with water and then allowed to stand till it turned sour. As baking developed, leaven was produced from bread flour kneaded without salt and kept till it passed into a state of fermentation. In bread making, the leaven was probably a piece of dough retained from a former baking which had fermented and turned acid. This was then either dissolved in water in the kneading trough before the flour was added, or was hid in the flour, and we'll look at a verse about that at the end, and kneaded along with it. The bread thus made was known as leavened, as distinct from unleavened bread. Now, it's not that it's bad to eat leavened bread, and there are certain places where they did actually, you were supposed to eat leavened bread. But if you've ever heard this whole unleavened bread thing, wonder where in the world did that come from? It comes out of the Exodus when they left in haste and then cooked this bread out there. Now, go over to Matthew chapter 16. And I want to look today at a number of yeast infections in the scriptures, some mostly that are not so great, but one that is a good example of this. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 and following, one of the yeast infections in the world at that time that I think still exists today, obviously, is religious teachers and their teaching. And verse 1, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and talking about Jesus, and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. We can tell the weather. He says, you know how to predict the weather by just looking at the sky, but you don't have a clue what's going on in the world. You're hypocrites. And of all the people that should know, the religious people, these Pharisees and Sadducees are the ones that should have known. Verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now, this is a great little thing that happens in the scriptures. He's fed about 4,000 people. He's been doing this. He's done it more than once. He's fed 4,000 people. Multiplying bread, feeding people is not his problem. But the disciples realize, and this is what's said even before Jesus says anything, we forgot bread. What are we going to eat? So they're thinking this is what's going on in their head. They had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, knowing what they were thinking, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we didn't take any bread. Oh man, we're in trouble. He's bringing up leaven. He's bringing up bread. We're in big trouble because we forgot to bring bread with us on this trip. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, now look at how he answers to them, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? It's a whole nother topic. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, let me just briefly on this note say this to you. There are things in the Old Testament, there are things in the New Testament, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, the religious teachers would come along and they would put stuff on the people. They would make up stuff almost, more religious trappings, things that got piled on. They were having enough challenge just doing what God wanted them to do without adding all these other rules and regulations. And my encouragement to you today is to beware of the leaven of any kind of religious teaching. Now, I'm not saying beware of biblical teaching, but make sure that you're in a place and you're listening to teaching that is truly biblical and it's not someone twisting it. Most people's lives that do church for any period of time, if it's in a bad place, get completely screwed up because they'll say, well, you got to do this and do that. Like, you got to wear certain things. You know what? That's nothing but leaven. If you don't look a certain way, if you don't have certain things, if you don't talk a certain way, if you smoke, you're not welcome in this church, or you're going to hell if you drink. There are certain things in the process. Those things, I mean, smoking may not send to hell. It'll get you to heaven a little quicker, as somebody said a long time ago. But it's all these things that we say, well, you know what? I don't like that so-and-so's like this, or they're doing that or doing that, so we're going to make a new rule. You can't do that. You can't find it in Scripture, but you say, well, I guess that's their rule. We'll do it. Try to strip away. I'm not anti-tradition, but you know what? When tradition gets in the way of truth, you're in trouble. And Jesus says to these disciples, knowing that sooner or later he'll be gone, be careful. Because people with authority, people that are religious, these teachers come in and start piling stuff on you because they think it's a good idea, but if it cannot be substantiated biblically, you're in trouble. Now, this is very difficult. There's still things in my own life that I have to shed. And I get to a place and go, well, why do I do that? Why do I prefer that? Why does that make me uncomfortable when this happens or that happens in church or with spiritual people, supposedly? And I realize it's just me trying to shake stuff that I get locked in on. And well, you're just supposed to do it that way. But you know what? There are some things that are negotiable. And there's nothing biblically erroneous about doing things a different way or a certain way. Don't get locked up, though, when someone comes along and says, no, it's all this and this. So one yeast infection are these religious teachers that he warns his disciples about. Go to Philippians 2:14. This is one verse, and I think it's one of the most heinous, just insipid kind of yeast infections there can be in a church, in a family, in any organization. It's a simple verse, and I'm not reading everything around it, but Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Now, let me just tell you one simple thing. If you start complaining and disputing, you're in trouble. A whole company can go down the toilet by allowing a bunch of people sitting around in break rooms, people out at lunch saying, well, yak, 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 yak. You know what? If you don't like it, go to someone who can change it. Or in a church situation, pray for the person or the situation, and once you've prayed about it, go to the person in a gentle, prayerful way. Say, you know what? I've observed this. What do you think? I've talked to God about it. I've been praying for you about it. Make a suggestion. But what can destroy a church, what can destroy any organization is disputing and murmuring and complaining. And it's the old deal. If you don't have something good to say about someone or something, just don't say anything. And some people are extremely gifted at complaining. It's their spiritual gift. And see, complaining accomplishes nothing. You get nowhere complaining. You sit around and see if you're at a table. You go to lunch with a bunch of people. Well, I don't like that, you know, and yak, 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 yak. And then everybody else goes, well, you know, that's right, and yak, 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 yak. Complaining may bring about change, but it's going to mess you up and everybody that you infect. It's like leaven. It's like yeast that gets in the midst of things and spreads like wildfire, and it accomplishes nothing. So he says here, Paul, to this church in Philippi, do all things. In other words, don't complain. Over in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You cannot complain and thank God at the same time. You cannot complain and murmur and worship at the same time. It's just not possible. You know, while we're on this, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Around verse 10, let me read you some of this. In this context, same thing that we talked about in Exodus. They're out there in the wilderness. Let's start with verse 1. We'll just read down to it. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters if some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell, nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain in the context of this, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. God didn't look very kindly on this kind of stuff. And you say, well, I'm getting away with it. You know what? You're miserable. You spend your life complaining and infect your home. If you're a complaining husband, you know what? Your kids are going to be complainers probably. If you're a complaining wife or mom, your kids are going to be complainers. And it's going to be a negative atmosphere. Try to find something positive about something. And if you can't, then say, God, I'm a mess. I'm going to try to worship and praise you and thank you for what I've got and stop complaining about what I don't have. Go to Luke chapter 12. Here's another great yeast infection. And it involves religious people. It's amazing how hard Jesus was on religious people who really had no relationship with God, nothing personal going on. They just had the trappings. And so he goes after them here. Luke chapter 12, verses 1 and following. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, you think this is all nice and organized, here we are sitting and listening. There were people, so many people around Jesus trying to hear what he had to say. such a large crowd, they were trampling one another, trying to beat, stampeding almost, trying to be around him. And he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, what is this leaven? It is hypocrisy. And when the hypocrisy hits from the top down, it's going to infect everything and everybody. Because you say, well, that's how you're supposed to live. That's how you're supposed to do it. And if the leaders of a group are not servants, then everybody says, well, they don't serve. We're not going to serve. If it's all about being somebody and having a position, then they got a position. I'm going to fight for a position. Or if it's all about just looking right and wearing the right trappings and having the right things on and the right appearance, then that's what you do and that's what you're trained to do. It's hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered. Look at verse 2. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. And you know what? That little verse right there ought to scare you a little bit. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, whatever you cover, God will uncover, and whatever you uncover, God will cover. See, the Pharisees and Sadducees had all this junk going on in their life, but they had a great cover. They had the right clothes. They looked right. They sounded right. Over in Matthew 6, they would make great prayers out in public places. Oh, what a great prayer. Who are they talking to? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. Be careful whispering sweet nothings in the dark. All these things that happen in the dark, you think, well, nobody will know. It'll never be seen. You know what? The day is coming. It'll all be exposed. The tapes will roll. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have spoken in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. You think, we think, I get in a room, cut some deal, slide some money under the table, a kickback someplace in some deal, and nobody will ever know about it. You know what? Everything spoken, everything that happens, it's going to all be exposed. It's all coming out. My encouragement to you, to me, is to say, you know what, God, I'm not waiting until that happens. If there's a warrant out for my arrest, I am turning myself in. I confess my sin. I know you're faithful and just to forgive me. I'll take whatever's coming on me now. I do not want to wait to get caught. I'm turning myself in. That's what confession of sin is. In the Old Testament, the animal sacrificed was a lamb and the bread was unleavened. In the New Testament, Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and we are to be unleavened as believers. No evil, no malice, no nothing but Jesus in our lives. Unleavened Christians. Another yeast infection, disobedience. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. I got two more verses. Galatians chapter 5, if you want to go back later and read the context a little bit before this, you can. But Paul's writing to him, and some well-meaning religious nut has come along, these Judaizers, and said, you know what? Now the whole Jesus thing is okay, but you Gentiles that have not been circumcised, we have a problem with this because we've been circumcising males for a long time around here. We're okay with the Jesus saved by grace thing, but we're going to have to do a little surgery to make this thing complete. We want you circumcised. Now see, if you think sharing the gospel is hard now and preaching the gospel is hard, if I said, you know what, if you accept Christ, here's the thing, you come, salvation, heaven is a free gift, Jesus died on the cross, was buried, raised from the dead so you can have eternal life, your sins be forgiven, live with God forever in heaven, the next thing we're going to do is baptize you, and then in a few days after that, if you come by the office, we have a qualified medical person who's going to circumcise you. All the men want to get saved, raise your hand. You know, there ain't nobody getting saved anymore. And here these poor Gentile guys coming along, finding out that Jesus loved them, and some well-meaning person says, yes, and, but, now we got a cut on you to make it work. And Paul's saying to them, don't get sucked in by all this religious nonsense out there. It's not the gospel. Look at verse 7. You ran well. You were doing great. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now think about this in your own life. You are running with God, you're trusting God, you're obeying God, everything's fine, and then some well-meaning person from your past, somewhere on the, wherever you get hit by these things, friends, some TV person, whatever it is, and they throw something at you and you get knocked down, sidetracked, and go, oh my gosh, I gotta start doing that too. Why? Who said? Can you find it in the scriptures? Find it in the scriptures or let it go. Some of these guys, I'm sure, got sucked into this and said, okay, well, circumcise me and then I'll be complete. You know what? That's messed up. That is painful. I don't even want to think about what that would take. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. It's not from God. God has called you to live a certain way, to love a certain way, not to get distracted by this. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You let these thoughts, you let these teachings, you let these people influence your life, and before you know it, you'll be so late, burdened, heavy laden, loaded up with all this stuff, you won't be able to live the Christian life anymore. I have confidence in you, Paul says to him, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Paul's going after the person who's putting this on you. Leave people alone, unless you're there to help them and give them some biblical instruction. People come along in a church setting like this where the music or whatever it is a little different, and they come in well-meaning, all established in their life of serving God and trusting God, and they come in and say, well, you know what? I'd come to this church, but the music, there's too much bass, too much drums. That's of the devil. You know, I've been to Africa. They worship with all that stuff. You know, are they all of the devil? That's your personal preference. That's where you come from. And somebody put that in your head. It's not about that. Someone comes in and says, well, the preacher didn't have a tie on ever. You can't do church without a minister in a tie and a coat. It's disrespectful. Then how the heck are you doing church Sunday nights where you came from in blue jeans? That wasn't in my notes anywhere. One more, Matthew 13. Here's the best yeast infection Jesus ever talked about. And it's one little verse, Matthew 13, 33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. Now somehow we're supposed to be unleavened as Christians, no evil. But on the flip side, we are supposed to be leaven in the world. We are supposed to be an effect, an infection in the world, not for bad, but for good. The kingdom of heaven here is compared to a woman who takes a little bit of leaven and she hides it in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. One of the great challenges and frustrations is patience. Sometimes it takes time. And you know what? Because you got to put it in there. You got to knead it in there. You got to give it some time. You got to let God do his works. And we literally, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like this leaven, which this woman puts in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. We've got to stick with it, stay with it, be what we're supposed to be, salt, light, whatever it is in the world. You got to somehow be in the world and not of the world. And don't give up on people. They're thinking, they're hurting, they're crying out to God. They don't want to live a holy life, but you know what? They don't want to live an unholy life anymore either. They may not know the words to describe it, but living the world's way is a miserable way to live long term. And you stick with it, you stay with it. Keep kneading it in there, and sooner or later, you know what? They can respond. Be leaven. Be unleavened as a Christian, but as a Christian in the world, be leaven that affects the world and is literally a yeast infection for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this book, for the truth, for stripping us down. And I pray that when you're done stripping us down, Lord, you're going to leave nothing but Jesus. That when we look in the spiritual mirror of our hearts and lives, that we see him. And when the world looks at us, Lord, they see a lot less of us and a whole lot more of you. Father, help us not be flirtatious with sin, familiar with sin, to not tolerate it in our own lives, but also to be cautious and not to tolerate it in other people's lives, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, the Christian life is impossible. Help us not try to live it without Christ. And Holy Spirit, thank you for the way you convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, and where it's not about some preacher or even our own guilt from the past, but it's literally you, Holy Spirit, convicting us, where we see who you are and we see who we're not and what we're doing, and we say no more, and we're willing to confess our sin, whatever it may be, to be more concerned about what you think than what somebody else thinks, to be more concerned about what we look like on the inside than what we look on the outside. Use us, Father, in the world. Today, it could be our last, to be the leaven that will help the world, Lord, see you and reach you. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.